Mr. Rollins, how are you, sir?
Oh, very good. How you doing?
Good. Where do you find yourself this morning?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Okay. Very cool. The show, 10 Things You Don't Know About, premieres for the second season on November 2nd at 9 p.m. And I was just going over some of these episode breakdowns on the History.com website. Now, I sit in Philadelphia this morning, and I got to imagine, with some of the titles to some of these, that you may have found yourself here.
We didn't make it to Philadelphia for these particular episodes. But that's not to say that a whole lot of very serious American history didn't go down in Philadelphia, because it certainly did. We talked about it, but we shot primarily in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and a little bit in California.
Okay. So when you do the thing on the founder's favorite tavern, where is that?
It was located in Old Town, Virginia, and it's one where they apparently went in and hung out now and then, and they've tried to keep it as intact as possible.
They do something similar here. They have this city tavern here where apparently Ben Franklin and all of them, as they were kind of debating constitutional issues, they were going and having a pint over there as well.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if you ever read much about those debates, but they're almost at each other's throats.
Yeah, you know what? It's cool. I actually went and saw, and we're on the phone with Henry Rollins, I went and saw Colin Quinn did a thing called Unconstitutional this past weekend. And he talked about those 4 months where they went and they were discussing the Constitution. And basically, it was just a lot of drinking and debating and fighting and trying to iron out all of these issues.
Yeah, well, they had to debate to even get a constitution in the first place. I mean, the states were saying, well, we're little countries. Why should we hook up with you guys? There's a lot of, you can read about it. And these are un-air-conditioned rooms, people sitting up by candlelight, just intelligent people trying to figure out what's democracy going to mean. I mean, it's pretty wild when you think about it, and how that we're still here. That we still have all these states that still somehow stick together. It just shows you what a powerful idea democracy is, what the Constitution means, because it survived the Civil War, and it survived a bunch of free-thinking Americans. And we argue daily about it, but we're still here. It's pretty cool.
10 Things You Don't Know About is on Saturday, November 2nd. That's the second season premiere on H2. Henry Rollins with us right now. Of all of these, which is the one that you kind of dug into the most, that you were like, wow, there is a lot of fascinating under-the-surface stuff going on here?
It was the presidential assassinations episode, because it's the most tragic and the most intense. And the stuff we were allowed to see was the most interesting, because it leads to such momentous parts of American history. I mean, it was all interesting. The prohibition part was the most fun, but the most meaningful was the assassination parts, because this is presidents who were killed, and especially anything having to do with Abraham Lincoln for me is just very emotional. He fascinates me.
Henry Rollins with us right now, 10 Things You Don't Know About on H2 this Saturday. I was going through, I mean, you've done so much stuff, and you're a fascinating guy, and it's an honor to talk to you. And I have to tell you, the one thing that always sticks out, anytime anyone mentions the word liar, you pop up in my head painted red.
Oh, yeah. 5 minutes to write, a lifetime to live down, that song.
Like I said, you've done a million things, and you're a super smart guy, and I love this show, and I love all the other stuff that you've been involved with, but it's something special that a word can trigger your image in someone's head.
I think it's, I wrote that song just about, we humans, you want to hear the Hollywood ending, and even, you're in some romantic affair, as we adults are want to do, when it's going south, you don't want it to, and so you just tell yourself the other narrative. And when someone lies to you, you almost want to thank them, because it's kind of an opiate. And that's what I was trying to address in the song. And I think it's one of those things where a lot of people have gone through that, and they went, yeah, that's I know what you mean. And it's interesting when you write one of those, or you put one of those ideas across on stage, and you can see a bunch of people going, like, having that simultaneous aha moment. You can just see it ripple across faces. It's pretty interesting. It's what a lot of good comedians achieve. With everyone kind of, like Louis C.K., he's kind of an on-his-feet, common-sense, funny guy. But what he gets at is just a lot of human truth. And you see people just go like, that's right, and that's funny. But that's kind of what that song gets at.
Absolutely. Henry Rollins with us right now. Of the other things I was looking at, the playlist that you did. I guess this was on Sunday on your KCRW show when you did the Lou Reed tribute. And the whole thing, we're into the week now. But I know that you had a relationship with him beyond just the playlist. I guess you shared some stories and some emails and some back and forth. What was your relationship with Lou?
Well, yeah, always a fan since I was about 20. I was a little late coming to the Velvet Underground. Not many people around me like had those records, but then I joined Black Flag, and that was just one of the big bands for that band. Those records were easily grabbable at our little record company we all lived at. And as soon as I really dug into that band, I was like, wow, this is really life. I know I'm going to be listening to this band for the rest of my life. And then over the years, learned more about Lou and got into his solo records, which I played two of them last night. At one point in the 90s, I got to meet Lou and saw him now and then. And then for several years, we had the same manager, which allowed me, kind of more proximity and access. And I would get emails from him, and I would email him and say, hey, the new record's great. And he'd say, hey, thanks. And it's not like I'm at his house every weekend, but I got to hang out with the guy, a few times, and for long periods of time, we just like sit there and talk for a few hours, and it was an honor and kind of surreal. Like you're looking over, there's like Lou Reed sitting there, and there's not many people, at least in my life, who have that where you kind of pinch yourself that you're sitting next to them because they mean that much to you, and they're so singular. Like, when you're around Iggy, you look over and like, wow, that's the man. And I always had that feeling around Lou Reed. And the fact that, I still had his emails, and I dug a few of them out last Sunday and read them because they're funny. And I miss the guy. But I please don't think that I'm trying to insinuate that, I'm some big friend of the guy. I met him a handful of times, like a lot of people did. But it's mainly the records and what he did for rock and roll, that is the most important thing for me. Just what those records mean. And just the boldness of being kind of against the grain for the entirety of his life. The Velvet Underground was very strong stuff when they were doing it. And now it's just one of those, every indie band person has that record on his or her shelf. But when they were making those records, it's a much different thing.
Yeah, I read a quote in one of the retrospectives where they talk about, I guess, that first Velvet Underground album selling something like, out of the gate, like 30,000 copies. But they say, everyone who bought a copy of that album went and started a band and did something incredible.
Yeah. He was really one of those guys. And you can't take anything away from Nico or John Cale or Mo Tucker, people like that. Those are great records, too. Like the Nico and Cale records are just incredible. But Lou Reed is just one of those guys. You look at photos of him, even as an older guy, still wearing the leather jacket and the sunglasses. You're like, what a badass.
Yeah.
He's really had it.
Well, they just released that photo this week of his last photo shoot, which I guess was a couple weeks ago. And there he is, clenched fist, and you still see him standing behind it. It's something really special.
Yeah, truly. Yeah.
And I think, that's why I appreciate you so much, because you've always been a guy who's appreciated all the stuff around you, especially musically, and, whatever level. That's still something really special to be able to have any kind of connection with a guy that's been important to you.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to still be a fan. I think a lot of people, you get to a certain age and you can't geek out over some band anymore. And I feel sorry for those people. It's fun to be a fan, fun to go buy someone's record or be excited that a band is coming to town. I go to gigs in Los Angeles whenever I can, and I'm often maybe the oldest person in the room, and I just laugh. I mean, it's funny.
Right.
And people kind of walk by me like I'm some kind of statue. Like, wow, he's still standing. Like, way to go, Henry. I'm like some gray-haired punk rock uncle / babysitter. And the fact that I'm still there and, like, birds aren't nesting in my hair, it's like, even that's an achievement. And it's funny. And, I like these bands. I like the activity and the energy of a show. But it's funny when it will be me and some other old bastard, and we'll be these two, ancient people who have been going to that club for like the last 30 years before the audience was born.
Right. Well, look, Henry Rollins with us right now. I know you got to run. 10 Things You Don't Know About is on Saturday. The first episode of the second season on November 2nd at 9 p.m. on H2. I would be remiss if I didn't ask on the way out, because I do know that you're still very much dug into music. Who it is that you're really digging right now?
I really like Ty Siegel. The guy makes a record a week. I just think he's a great young talent, and his last record, it's called Fuzz. It's him and some of his friends from a band called Epsilons he was in. That's it's just called Fuzz. It's on In the Red. That's a really good record. And he also just released another record on Drag City called Sleeper. And I really enjoy his records, and I like the fact that he's just making one record after another. Like, he's dropping them like a magazine, just like one after another, and it's just great stuff.
Henry Rollins, man, it's always a pleasure and an honor. I truly appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right, be good.
See you.